your Bibles, please. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 today. Second Timothy chapter 1. And it says in verse 7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? A great promise that God has made in His Word. When we are afraid, I don't care what we're afraid of or not, but when we're afraid, we cannot believe God. Right? It's difficult to believe. Well, you can't, right? And I think day by day you would agree that our goal is to believe God. Right? I mean, I don't think anybody is here because they don't want to believe God. But our goal is to believe Him. And when fear exists in any way whatsoever in an area, it's not possible to believe God in that area. In Mark chapter 5, we'll come back to Timothy in a minute, but Mark chapter 5, says in verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and then she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And down in verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, right? Only believe. Right? Because if there was fear there, it wouldn't be possible to believe. And as soon as Jesus recognized, in that particular instance, the words that would have introduced fear into that man's life, he said, No, put that away, only believe. Right? And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado? And weep, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." Right? I mean, you know, you will see that the adversary will do anything to eliminate believing from a person's life, right? To introduce fear, to introduce worry. In this case here, they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. Can you imagine laughing at Jesus Christ? Right? I can. I mean, I wouldn't want to be them someday in the future, right? Should they not believe, right? They laughed at him. Why? Why would they laugh at him? Anything to stop a person from believing. Verse 40, "But when he had put them out," his response was to get out. That's probably a good response for us to remember. When anything gets in the way of believing, you say, get out. "He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Chapter 14 and in verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said unto them, spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Right. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I mean, I read that and I still cannot get my head around that this actually happened, okay? This happened. This man walked on top of the water, okay? He walked on the sea. Right? It just shows you what is possible by believing, right? He walked on the water. Right? It doesn't sound like there was a lot involved here. He said, come, okay, and he walked in the water. It sounds pretty simple. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. See, as soon as the fear was introduced, the believing washed away, forgive the expression, right? Was gone, right? The believing started to go and the fear came in and he started to sink. Right? You see, the two are mutually exclusive. When you have fear, you cannot believe God, right? He cried to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me, which is a good response when we realize our believing is failing, is to go to the Lord. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, caught him and said unto him, O thou of little believing or faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right. Back to 2 Timothy now. So I think we're well aware of those verses that we just read. But just to see that, you know, when fear is introduced, when there is fear in any area of life, it's we've made our job of believing God very, very difficult, right? Now, 2 Timothy is a great verse. I mean, you know, one thing I did when I was looking through the Word, I noticed God doesn't talk a lot about fear in the Bible. There's not all this, you know, endless pages and pages. All he says is, don't be afraid. Fear not, right? Instead of God talking about fear a lot, he just says, believe me, right? And that's the positive way of looking at not having fear, is to believe and trust in him, right? So this verse here is so powerful. God has not, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's the spirit that we have. It is not one of fear. So God has not predesigned us to have fear, but he has designed us to have power, love, and a sound mind. Those three things. Now, why did God put those three things there? Ask him, right? That's what it says, right? Power, love, and a sound mind. Not having fear is not a false bravado where, you know, you have in the world, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, some guy else, you ever anybody tell you that? I'm not afraid of anything. You know, and why not? I was asked the question, that why aren't you afraid of something? What reason do you have of not being afraid? Do you take high protein drinks? Is that why you're not afraid? Right? Well, certainly the world, a person in the world, has no reason to say, I'm not afraid of anything. They ought to be afraid of things. There's no reason for them to say, I'm not afraid. But we, it's different for us, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear. We don't have a reason to be afraid, right? Because the spirit he's given us is not one of fear, right? In the Old Testament, remember David, he goes, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I am a strong, bold king. Right? And what did he say? Because thou art with me. That's the reason we can say, I'm not afraid, because God is with me. That's it. That underlies our reason for not being afraid, right? Is God is with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the whole understanding of that being that he makes provision for your life and he protects you. Does both things, right? Both areas of life, like the shepherd did for the sheep, right? That's the reason we don't have to be afraid of anything, is because God is with us, right? So we have a good reason for saying that. So power, Romans chapter 8. God said power, love, and a sound mind. Romans chapter 8. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. but of the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Listen to those words. The spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Right? Do we have any, is there any question that we have power in our life? That it's a spirit of power? The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You see how it could be a reason to be afraid if you didn't have any power in your life. You know, if the adversary could attack, he would will. But God says, no, I've given you the spirit of power. You don't have to be ever afraid in that area. You know, that's why when Jesus Christ confronted those guys twice, he said, oh, you have little believing, right? And once time they were afraid for their lives, their basic protection. He said, what? Basic protection? Oh, you have little believing, right? You shouldn't even think about that, right? God says, I've given you the spirit of power, right? Look at 1 John, chapter 4. Absolutely no reason to be afraid in that area. You know, and I, you know, we could look at all the things out there that people can be afraid of. There's a lot of them. You know, you hear about, you know, diseases and sicknesses and, oh man, the amount of things, the conversations that go on every week about, you know, you ought to take this shot and you ought to do this and you ought to do that and take this, you know, go to this therapist and do that and learn this, take this, you know, there's, it just happens all week long. You know, if I did all the things that are suggested to me to do every week, I'd be 24 hours a day just doing those things all the time, right? Yet the Word of God says that he's not given a spirit of fear. I don't need to be afraid. It's not some kind of false bravado. The Bible says he is with me, right? He is with you, right? Not on your own. It's not some kind of fight against, you know, one person against the world. He is with you. When God says don't be afraid, it's not a false promise. He says, I am with you, right? If God is with us, who can be against us, right? Nobody. Well, it can be lots of people, but it doesn't matter. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So what do they say about all those that say he's God? I don't know. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So the context being the thing, the evil spirits that are around, there's more here, but look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Those spirits that are in the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? That spirit you have, greater than, who is it that is in the world? Who is he talking about? The devil, the adversary. And the Word of God says, greater is he that is in you. Right? So, is it a spirit of power? Right? And the Bible says that it's not a spirit of fear. And on the opposite of that, he says it's power. Right? So you have power that raised the Lord from the dead in you. God in Christ in you. Right? Greater is he that is in you. Right? So, you know, it's not some kind of false promise. It's not some kind of positive mental thinking. I was looking at some, you know, the world's way of dealing with fear, or just, you know, I don't know why I read these stupid things sometimes, right? But my goodness, the amount of nonsense that is out there in dealing with fear, I guess there's nonsense in every category, but it's ridiculous. It's shocking the way people deal with fear, right? You know, pretend that you're at one with the world and all this crap, you know, and live in the now. And there's this one man out there, I don't know, his name is Eckhart Tolle, right? I don't know if you ever heard this guy, right? Christianity Today says that he is got the best answers on how what makes up man next to the Bible. That's Christianity Today, right? You ever read his stuff? Right? My goodness, right? You want to see diametrically opposed, but not obviously, but in a way that is completely sly, taking you away from the truth of God's word, right? Dealing with fear. He has stuff on dealing with fear. Oh my goodness, right? Yet, you know, they're out there. Modern Christianity, the organized church, hails this guy as being the next prophet. They said after the Bible, he knows more. Like, oh my goodness, right? All you got to know is that he is with you, right? what more, what other kind of mind tricks do they want to throw? The word of God says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you, right? That's it, right? God is with us, right? Power, love, and of a sound mind. And look at 1 John chapter 4. We're still here, right here. Actually, we can go down to the end of that verse, end of that chapter. Why love, right? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. Verse 18. It says it right, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Right? Because fear hath torment. Does anybody disagree with the fact that fear has torment? Yeah, it sure does. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Love is antithetical to fear. Right, the two can't exist. Just like believing and fear, right? It's like water and oil, right? They don't mix very well. Well, when you walk with love, right? It is the fear will go. Why? Because I made that promise. No, it says it right there. Perfect love casts out fear. The Word of God says that, right? That when you have love, it casts out fear. There isn't a commentary, there isn't a psychological way of thinking out there that believes that, or even ever tells you that one. It says it right there. You know, perfect love casts out fear. So why do I gotta mind control tricks and, you know, live in the now and all the crap that they have out there to tell you to deal with fear? When the Bible says, you walk in love and fear will leave, right? Why? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. We gotta read that section. Couple of verses there. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to be afraid of things. You know, we shouldn't, that shouldn't even be an issue of our life to think about fear. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity or love suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And if you're ever at a loss as to what to do, the love of God never fails. Right? Doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. It will not fail to drive out fear. The Word of God says it will drive out fear. Right? You know, verse 13, let's read that. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, or charity, right? You know, fear, and you can kind of look at fear and love and think about some of the things that are involved in those two emotions or ways of thinking, if you will. Fear, you know, in its common denominator is selfishness and pride, if you think about it long enough, right? Fear makes you think about what will someone do to me, right? And makes you think about yourself, right? Like, as soon as you're afraid, who are you afraid for? Generally, yourself, right? So it's making you think about yourself. You know, what will somebody do to me? Love, what can I do for somebody else? You see how it takes the pride and selfishness out of life, and now you're thinking about what can I do for somebody else. Seeketh not her own, right? You see, what will fear, it says in the Old Testament, fear bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Fear immobilizes, it freezes you into inaction, right? Fear does that to people. Whereas love, you know, when you walk in love, you have the greatest freedom to act without shame. You can do whatever, you know, if you're walking in love, there's no freezing. It's just complete freedom to walk the way you want to walk, right? Fear only thinks evil, right? Something is going to happen to me. I'm going to catch this disease. I'm not going to get a job. What's going to happen? Am I going to be able to retire? Will I have enough money? By the end of you just keep thinking and thinking and thinking. All these things mount up to fear, and we're afraid of all those things. So we're thinking about ourselves. Whereas love, it says, thinks no evil, right? There's great freedom in love. You know, fear focuses on tomorrow. Where am I going to be 5 years from now? Will I have enough money to retire? Will I be able to do that? Where are my children going to be? Are they going to be okay? We just go on. There's an endless list of things that we can think about, right, for the future. Whereas love, if you act in love on a regular daily basis, love acts and labors for the day. Jesus Christ, to take no thought for the tomorrow, not anxious, all this kind of anxiety for the tomorrow, there's enough to think about today, right? So we act in love today, that deals with tomorrow, because then tomorrow you act in love, and the next day you act in love, the next day you act in love, and before you know it, you know, you walk in love, and there's no anxious consideration for the future, right? Which is what fear does. Fear shirks responsibility, right? When you're afraid, you don't deal with your responsibilities, right? Whereas love fulfills responsibility. The Bible says we're to owe no man anything but what? To love one another. It's a responsibility. So when you walk in love, you are handling your responsibility to God, right? Whereas if you're afraid, you know, basically house cleaning goes out the door, you know, you don't take good care of yourself, and all these things just come with fear, right? Fear is self-protecting, right? Love is self-giving, right? Thinketh not her own. It's not for, you know, beareth, believeth all things, hopeth, endureth all things, you know, for the sake of the truth. It is self-giving, right? Fear causes you to move away from others, where love draws. You see how they're completely antithetical? Like, they're complete opposites. Love causes you to draw towards people. Fear causes you to, oh, what do they think of me? Why is that person looking at me that way? And all these things we think about, we get fear. Well, that person at work knows more than I do. All these things we can think about, right? The manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which is the section we read there, how are they best operated? With love. Without love, it says we're nothing, right? So even all those manifestations, you know, parting the Red Sea and all the things, faith, miracles, all those things that are available to do with the Holy Spirit, it says are without love, no profit, right? So see how love, and the greatest thing about love underlies it all is that it is stronger, right? Is that what it says? Right? It's because it casts it out. If something casts something else out, isn't it stronger? So love is stronger than fear. So why does God say power, love, and of a sound mind for a good reason, right? Because it casts out fear. You don't have to think about something. I'm not going to be afraid. See, God never works that way. It's not where you have to think about the thing you're trying to get rid of or eliminate. God tells you, okay, you know, recognize the power that you have, walk in love, and then the sound mind. And then as a result of that, the fear goes. Fear goes. You never even thought about fear in order to get rid of it, right? That's the great thing about the way God works. Mark chapter 5. What benefit is there to fear anyway? What's the benefit of it, right? I was going to title this teaching "The Benefits of Fear," but. It's a short list, right? The power, love, and a sound mind, right? The sound mind is a very interesting thing that God puts there. The world, if you think about it, and I'm sure we all do, the world is an unsound place, right? There is a lot of unsound thinking in the world. A lot of it. That's why, you know, I warned the kids. We talked to them about pay careful attention, the music you listen to, the shows you watch, the things you think about, because what you're getting generally is a lot of unsound thinking coming at you, right? Every sitcom you watch, or if you ever watch them, I choose not to, but you hear about them and you see that they preach premarital sex. Like, it's just, there isn't even any shame in that anymore whatsoever. In fact, you're led to believe if you're not involved in a relationship as a teenager, you're the odd person out, right? Now that is insane, right? That's unsound thinking, right? Evolution is unsound thinking. There is no logic to that stupid theory. It is complete nonsense. You sit down and think about it before you go, that is the absolute stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yet out there, oh wow, you say that out there and you're ostracized, right? It's insane. It's an insane theory coming from the insane mind of an insane man. And yet it is accepted by the world, you know, I mean, we don't have to, you have to think very long about it and say it's not insane, right? But you see, the unsound mind is preached by the world. How about, I'm sure this week we can all read this one, spare the rod, spoil the child. You even mention that out there and you are told that you're insane, right? And yet, who's insane? They are! You see, the world will preach, and you know the thing about it is, you hear it enough, you start believing it a little bit. Boy, it's scary. You start thinking, well, wait a minute. What does the word say, right? I don't care if a billion people don't believe it. As long as it says it in here, right, this is true, and they are insane, right? Don't ever forget it, right? Mark chapter 5, verse 15. That man that was possessed with devils, it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And this guy here was the one who was going around cutting himself in chains and all this bleeding and stuff. Right? Remember that guy? Right? They see him was possessed with the devil and had the legion, many devil spirits, sitting and clothed. Okay, he was sitting down. He now had his clothes on, right? And in his right mind, and now they were afraid of him, right? Before, oh, that's fine. He's out there running around in chains, cutting himself, bleeding and naked. That's the way it should be. As soon as he puts his clothes on and he sits down with a sound mind, they are afraid of him, right? Who is insane, right? You know, power, love, and of a sound mind. In Psalm 12, you know, the only way to have a sound mind is from the Word of God. Psalm 12. Verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Right? The words of the Lord are pure words. They don't take anything from you. They give to you. Right? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Pure words. You don't have to be afraid when you're going to God's word. What it's giving to you is hurting you. They are pure words. Purified, right? That's what gives you the ability to think soundly, right? Why can we actively go out there and say, look, you know, I was use the evolution example. Evolution is a piece of junk from the pit of hell. Why can we say that? Because the word tells us how God made man, right? That's the basis on which we can say it. The soundness is from the word of God. I didn't make that up. God told us how it works, right? Why can we say that, you know, this way of, you know, the alternative lifestyle, right, is not the right way to live. You know, we can say it with love, but we can say it with certainty that that is not right. That is wrong. That is evil. Why? Because the Word of God is the basis for our sound thinking. Right now, we can come up with 1,000 examples, but I just thought we'd look at a couple. In Psalm 34:4, you don't have to go there. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and what? Delivered me from all my fears, right? That's a lot different than, you know, use fear in a positive way. You know, use the fear you're feeling to channel your energies towards. No. The Bible says, God says, seek me and I will eliminate that fear. Then you can believe me in your positive way, right? I don't have to use fear, right? You see how subtle that is? Use the fear to help you. Channel your energies and make it positive, right? The fear you're feeling. That's not what the Word of God says, right? It says, God says, seek me and we'll just get rid of them and then you can trust me because I've given you a spirit that is of a sound mind, okay? That's got a lot of power there. You don't need the fierce power. You can use my power, right? In Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I love the way God puts this. You know, Abraham was given a promise that he was going to have a child, right? And it says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, God doesn't say that Abraham was afraid that it wouldn't happen, right? You see, he said it the opposite way, that Abraham was convinced that what God had said would come to pass. Right? That's, you know, instead of me sitting back and saying, well, the promise says this, well, I wonder if it's going to happen, right? No. The positive side is fully convinced that what God has promised, he's able to perform. Why not think about that as opposed to thinking, well, it might not come to, might not happen. You see the exact opposite, right? You know, he was fully convinced. So there, that eliminates the fear of thinking that it will come to pass, because the word of God, the sound thinking, is that when God promises something, he'll bring it to pass. And he's able to do it. Not only is he willing, but he's able to do it. That's sound thinking. Unsound thinking is, oh, it might not happen. That's unsound. Okay? According to God's word, that is an unsound way to think when it comes to the word of God. When God says something, the sound thinking is, he'll bring it to pass, and he's able to do it. Anything outside that? Insane. Right? Not sound. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we'll close in the Old Testament here, a couple of verses. Like I said, we could look at hundreds of verses along this line, but just a couple that bless me. Deuteronomy 20. Verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Why? Right, we started with this, we'll close with this. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See, he didn't give them all the reasons as to why, you know, you've got power too, you got some strong people, you're well trained. Didn't say any of that, right? He says, the Lord thy God is with thee. And that's the, you know, the underlying reason why we don't ever have to live in fear of anything, right? Because why? Not because we're so strong or powerful, or, you know, that we have all the answers, but God is with us, right? In Joshua chapter 1, close in Joshua. Chapter 1. See, to be afraid that the word of God will not work is not sound. To have fear is not sound. I know that there's temptations to fear, but the sound way of thinking, and that's what is the thing. Great thing is that because God has given us a spirit of you know, power, love, and of a sound mind, that means we are able to think soundly. That he gave us the ability. Now we can still choose to be afraid, right? Otherwise, God wouldn't say things like "be not afraid," right? But he's telling you, I've empowered you with everything you need to live fearlessly, right, in this life. Power, love, and a sound mind. Very simple. Spirit of God, and we can look at 100 verses, scriptures, and cases where the Spirit of God was used in cases where they could have been very much tempted to be afraid. Remember all, you know, the prisons and things, the beatings and all the things they got involved in when they were being persecuted. All the things, you know, they walked out using the Spirit of God, right? They walked in love. They were concerned about one another, right? They walked in love, love for God, love from God to us first, and then our love back to him, and then love amongst the fellowships, right? That's what they had, that they walked in that love. You know, did you ever notice when you're afraid at night or something, if you're about anything, if you just for a second take your mind off yourself and think about somebody else, that fear leaves so fast, right? And generally, if the thing you're thinking about is God first, that helps. See, the thing is, you take the focus off yourself, because fear in its innate sense is selfish. It's selfish and prideful, right? Because you're thinking about you and not God, right? And then a sound mind, which we get from the Word of God, you know. And then the Word of God, once you've got the Spirit of God, right, your brain is meant to hold God's Word, right? That's what God designed it for. He didn't design it for neurosurgery or anything. Well, it's great because it's got the ability, but it was meant to hold God's word. And whatever you do beyond that, fantastic, right? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, All the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That's the reason that no man would ever be able to stand before Joshua, because God was with him. God was with him. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Right? Wherever you go, right? God is with you. Doesn't matter, even to the very gates of hell, right? Even there shall thy right hand guide me and hold me, right? That's what it says, right? So, you know, we have access to a spirit that is power, love, and a sound mind, right? We don't need to live in fear, right? It's not some kind of false macho mentality. It's an understanding that wherever we go in life, God is with us, right? And that is the sole reason that underlies our confidence. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Right?